Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parents in Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or hopefully how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
It takes a lot of hard work to make it look easy. This Mother's Day, Duluth Trading Co. can help you give her something that keeps up. Whether you prefer to shop online or in-store, Duluth has a motherload of gear, goods, and gifts to keep her comfortable and capable, no matter what needs doing. With Duluth's problem-solving details and legendary durability to boot, you'll finally be mom's favorite again. Check out DuluthTrading.com for all your Mother's Day gifting needs.
Hello, you're listening to Parent in Hell with...
Melina, can you say Rob?
Rob.
Beckett.
Beckett.
And can you say Josh?
Josh.
Widdicombe.
Widdicombe.
Well done, Melina. Nice work.
Failed at Widdicombe again, but fair enough. It's the equivalent of the Travelator in Gladiators, isn't it? You can do the whole of the Eliminator, but then you fall down on Widdicombe.
And I think if you don't go in confident, you're never going to recover.
No, exactly. Exactly.
You've exerted yourself early doors. How are you, Josh?
I'm good. Do you want to know who that was?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, how I do. Are you? Obviously, no, I do. Come on.
This was my 16-month-old daughter, Milena. We live in Bristol, although I'm originally from...
Russia.
Malta.
Oh.
Listening to your podcast kept me sane during those long hours pushing a pram around in circles trying to get her to sleep. She's early doors with the talking and even sings her own nursery rhymes. Yeah, she is early doors with the talking, actually.
How old is she?
16 months. Or my son is late doors.
You so care at the time, but after a year, because it's only, my daughter's four, so it's only a little while ago, like 2.5 years, you just forget.
Doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter, like... But at the time, I remember being like, oh, why is it too late? Just, oh, my God.
Yeah.
But that is, well, yeah, well done. Sorry, I'm saying. No, but it's good. Well done, she's talking. But, yeah, you just sort of forget, don't you?
Don't worry. Jake has done a good paragraph here. She's early doors with the talking.
Have you still got yoghurt in your mouth?
No.
Or is it just an almond? Have you got an almond in there? I knew I could hear something clinking about. It sounded like a bored sweet.
Sorry.
So you've got to chew the almond, or is it still in there?
My mouth is an empty chamber.
So what was the almond?
It was just an almond I picked up off the bowl, unthinkingly.
You popped in during talking that I heard clink, and then you chewed it and got it down.
I don't even remember the thought process that did that. That was on autopilot. Awful.
But so you chewed an almond mid-chat?
Like, you know those flaked almonds, not a full almond, like a flake.
I was going to say, you got that down well.
Yeah, no, not a full almond, like a flaked almond.
Oh, I was going to say, I thought you just panicked and choked it down like gobbling an acorn. Sorry, go on.
She's early doors with the talking and even sings her own nursery rhymes to get herself to sleep, but she has still never slept through the night. And is regularly up 3 to 4 times a night before starting the day at 5:30 a.m. Thanks again, and looking forward to the book, Jake.
Oh, Jake, that is brutal.
Yeah, I take the mute sleeper. Thank you very much, Jake.
How are you, Josh? All right?
Can't smile wide enough, Rob. I'm good, actually. I'm fine.
Can't smile wide enough.
Yeah.
Oh, good. That's good. What's up? We're just sort of grinding through back to school, getting all the... I don't know about you, but I always go, I'll get that sorted when the kids are back in school. Which then means, as soon as they're back in school, I've got loads of horrible stuff to do.
Our plan was to tidy the house in September. That was our plan. What a fucking life that is.
Tidy the house.
Tidy the house. For once, and since we've moved in, we've always said it's not quite...
How you want it. Or not tidy enough.
5 years in, and now we're finally thinking September's the month.
And what are your thoughts on moving, or are you definitely happy there now?
We're happy here now.
You're not going anywhere?
We're not going anywhere for the foreseeable.
Okay. Talk to me in 2 years. We still might be moving, but we don't know yet.
Yeah, well, do you know what? Our daughter keeps asking when we're going to move, but I don't know why she wants to move. She's never lived in any other house.
Did you say you might be moving then?
No, I don't think so. But maybe her friends have moved or something like that. Friends have moved house.
I don't know if it's exciting for a kid or scary to move house, because I never moved house.
We moved when I was 3 and a half, so I didn't really experience it. And then I lived in the same house till I was 18.
Yeah, so I lived in the same house for 18 years before I moved out.
Oh, God, I can't imagine the stress of moving house now. The thrill of moving, but then that 6 months after when nothing's quite sorted.
I think it's good. It's a new start, fresh start. You can go through, sort out all your direct debits and change all your addresses. It feels like a new beginning.
Yeah, I love that bit. The move is fun. Right, the move
you have
is
to
exciting.
Pay for, you have to pay for a removals firm. I always moved myself in the back of my little car, and then when we moved from our flat to what is our now sort of family home, we got movers, and it was the greatest thing I've ever done.
You're not going to believe what I've just done. Oh,
what?
I've just eaten an almond.
What's wrong with you?
What's wrong with me?
How hungry are you?
Quite hungry, because I brought my breakfast to record, and then I didn't eat it because we were recording.
But we were always going to be recording.
I know, but I was late.
He was like, okay, fair enough. You've been busy.
Why have I just done that? I didn't even think about it. Do you know what? That's how comfortable I am. It's like we're having a conversation. It's just like we're having breakfast.
Yeah, but even if we were having a conversation, you just brought a bowl of yogurt from home, I'd be like, it's a bit weird, isn't it?
Not from home.
Like finger dabbing almonds and popping them in mid-chat. Is that how you're getting them as well? You're licking your finger and dabbing them and getting them?
No, I'm getting them with a spoon.
Like the police in TV shows when they're testing cocaine.
When they do a drugs bust.
And they get it and rub it on their gum. I always think they put a bit too much on there. I think they're absolutely flying.
I think what you've just done there, mate, is illegal.
Let me just check if this is right. Yeah, that's definitely cocaine. Take them down. I'm going up.
How also, if you're a policeman, you shouldn't know that shouldn't help.
Well, if you're a parent in fail about getting powders mixed up.
Yeah.
Here we go. God, this was a good segue. A few months ago, we went to the coast with our baby, who was 4 weeks old. We packed some formula and everything was going well until 3 a.m. one morning. My husband told me our baby had been throwing up a fair bit. I'd explained a bit of spitting up milk was normal. We went back to sleep. At 5 a.m, I took over to find millions of ants on one formula bottle. And after smelling it, I realised why. It turned out I'd packed formula in a Tupperware box. My husband had also packed his own formula. Cookie protein powder in a similar box.
Oh, no.
We accidentally measured out protein powder instead of formula.
Oh, my God.
The baby only had half a bottle and threw it all up. He's absolutely fine. Just looks
He's
like...
He's fucking ripped. Sorry, I think you were going... I just realised as I said it.
That's why you're a comedian, because they went for it. They said he looks like he's just ready for the CrossFit Champions 2023. Oh, yeah. Whoops. Which is a great line, but... Yeah, fucking rip works better. Yeah, Harriet, sorry. Who messaged in. No, don't say sorry. You made that better. You made that funnier. Right, should we move on from this? Should we have our guest?
Yes, let's have our guest. Oh, we've wanted this guy on for bloody ages. He's absolutely brilliant. He has four kids.
Yeah, he's so busy filming in America and things like that. And he's touring. He's in the UK doing London shows. It's a brilliant Guz Khan.
Here he is. Hello, Guz Khan. How are you?
He's great at intros. He really bigs you up. How you doing, mate?
That's the best intro I ever heard in my life. I'm good, lads. What's going on?
Well, we're just living in England while you're in Hollywood, mate, in all those films and Netflix shows.
Oh, is that what you think my life is? Okay, let me explain to you where I'm right
no,
now.
No, I don't.
That's
actually. But...
Is that what you think? Okay, let me tell you where I'm right now. Somebody, and they were supposed to be my friend, yeah? After a production meeting yesterday, booked me a hotel, yeah? This hotel is the shittiest hotel I've ever been in my whole life. Fucking middle of the night, it's got rolly wheels. One of the rolly wheels came off. My blood pressure went up. This is a horrible hotel.
Of the rolly wheels on the bed?
On the bed?
Yes, bro. And one of it came off in the night. The bottom left one.
So you're away working from home. How many kids you got for the listeners, Guz? Let's talk us through your setup. What's going on? Are they all still in Coventry while you're out and about working?
they're all still carved, they're all settled, and I have a very powerful back four, mate. I'm talking the kind of back four Circa United when they were doing trebles, mate. There's Vidic's in there, there's Ferdinand's in there, there's all kinds of shit in there, mate. So it's a back four. Rob, remind me, how many little ones you got?
I've got two. I've got two girls, four and six. Josh has got two. A little boy who's running around causing dramas.
One. A girl who's four.
Oh, this is incredible. So between you, that's how many children? Just confirm for me.
That's four, yeah. Between us.
Yeah, you don't know shit. You got to have four on your own.
So what ages have you got?
The individual that changed my life was my daughter, Sophia Khan. And she was born 11 years ago.
Yep.
And then Nobed arrived quite quick after. That was he's nine. Then the other Nobed came, he's seven. And then there's a new one. He's only two. And he was on the cusp of being like his sister. But unfortunately, he's ended up like his dad and his brothers. So that's the third Nobed, who's two. So three boys, nine and below, and one incredible young woman who's 11.
Do you have a favourite?
Do you know what? Okay, here's the thing, okay? I know I've presented that as like, yo, Sophia is the beacon of everything.
Yeah.
But you know, on a day-to-day basis, like somebody... Like it's like a horse race. Someone becomes a favorite every day by doing something silly or something funny, or swearing at a neighbor. And like, you know what I mean? That's the interchange. But I'm very honest with them. I always sit them down regularly and say, look, man, some days your dad loves you more than others, and today it's you. And I think it's very important for character building that they know that.
There's four kids there. Yeah. And do they interact well? Are they? I don't even know where I'd start with, like, just the day. Like, what, talk me through getting up.
So you're up in the morning. You're up quite early. So Sophia is now, it's the best part of parenting. She's self-sufficient, isn't it?
Yeah.
She knows what she's doing, bro. She goes, be brushing her own teeth. It doesn't fall in the toilet. There's none of that drama about finding a spare toothbrush like we get with the younger lot. So she's very self-sufficient. Breakfast sorts herself out. Yeah, it's good vibes. She's got music on. She's doing her thing.
She's basically just like a flat share. She's just like a lodger.
She is. She's like a very mature lodger, yeah?
Yeah.
She needs to get reminded to like change her socks and that. She's a bit of a tramp when it comes to that. But apart from that, she's sound. So the other three, two of them share a bedroom. And then you know they're up because like things start, like loud bangs on the floor.
Yeah.
So that's Ye and Wiggy. Ye and Wiggy are on a mad one. The littlest one, he's still between me and his mum in the bed.
Right.
So he refuses to leave. But to be honest with you, me and my missus were talking about this the other day. We're now used to that setup pretty much since Sophia. So we've always had one little weirdo stuck between us, like...
Oh, for 11 years, yeah.
Yeah, 11 years on the bounce, bro. And even when you try and, shift a kid out in between those periods, there's always one little pervert that opens the door in the night like, oh, Dad, what's going on, Dad? Can't sleep, man. So you can't be getting up to nothing anyway. So, you know what I mean?
Well, you've had a good go at it. You've got four. You must have found some time.
Yeah, fuck, you just got to get it in, innit? You know what I mean? Behind a tree or whatever. So, like... bro.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
When the kids, when you look at all four of them, the run of it, what it's like on a daily basis, our lives do revolve around them. But I want to say in a positive way here, like, it's really fun for us. Like, it is. Yeah. It's a mission. It's a mission every day. But me and her sometimes get a bit of quiet time. It's like, she look at me and she'll be like, you're fucking weird. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. Thank you. Let's get back to the kids. So they're good for us. They're a great balance for us.
What do you think it's going to be like when you... Like, can you remember what it was like when you were a couple? Just the two of you? How long ago does that feel?
Long time. Different life, Joshy. Different life. I was up to all kinds of different things. I think for her... She was kind of like, he's my mate, it was never a lovey-dovey between me and her, innit? So we were always mates, which was really important. So she was like, my mate might go to prison for a while. So she was used to that. And instead, she ended up in prison with her mate and just banged out four kids. So, you know, we're kind of in a version of prison because I go to work, she goes out and sees family and mates and stuff for a bit, but then both of us are like quite intensely back with the kids. But what life was like before that, I don't know. To be honest with you, I suppose why it's not that much of a change is my family set up since I was a kid is our houses have always been busy, innit? When I go back to Cov now and I crack the front door, in my house will be like three nieces and nephews of mine who are very close to me, like super close. My sister will be floating about, one of her mates will be floating about the house. So for us, kind of like, we're always used to like go, go, go. And I'm really bad at being like, twiddling my thumbs on my own. Like, what should I do here? I always need like somebody about to have a laugh with or feel happy. So I suppose in that sense, she's from a big family. Yeah. I'm from a really big family. It's just like, it's all we've ever known. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Is her family in Coventry as well?
Her family's in Cov as well, yeah.
Because that's the thing, like, you used to be a teacher, didn't you? And then you sort of broke through, but your rise to sort of success and being, you know, so busy with comedy and acting was quite quick. So you've gone from that setup with, you probably had a two-year-old daughter, you're a teacher, you're doing a few videos online, and all of, and you know, your day's probably quite regimented, you know, where you are when you're on summer holidays. And then all of a sudden now you're flying around the world filming stuff. Your life's changed quite a lot. Did you feel that's impacted on you as a dad and the kids? Because you're physically not there enough. Luckily, she's got support around her, your partner. But how's it for you not being there as regularly as you were in such a short amount of time?
So it's kind of mad, bro. When I really think about it, we just had our third when I first ever tried like a funny video or whatever. Mm. So we were already quite into the parenting. And I remember like thinking when I was teaching, like I loved the fundamentals of being a teacher, interacting with the kids. And, you know, they weren't really used to having a teacher who was from their background, like in Cov, it was quite a tough area. So all of that stuff was going on, but I was thinking, shit, man, if I keep teaching, this is going to kill me because it's so intense. It's like you finish work, but and you're like, 3:30 or whatever, but now you're marking books till 2 a.m. It was killing me. But I always tried to like maintain this family balance. And so when this stuff kicked off and things started coming in, I think I was quite aware that I wanted to grab them when I could and take them with me.
Mm.
So if it was like, you're filming in Europe for 3 months on a bounce, I'd just generally speak to the school and be like, look, you know what my organisation is like, it's shit. You see me coming through the school gates in the morning. I've got this new job. I've got this new life. Do you reckon you can let the kids come with me for a bit? And they'd be like, they were really good. The schools were good. They were like, you know what? We will, but if he goes beyond this, we'll have to fine you. So I always took a bit of a fine in terms of them not being for like weeks on end.
Yeah.
And then it became a thing because it's not, you know what I mean? It's like, I'm not child trafficking on my mind. They're just with their dad.
It's just sort of building in an extra tax.
Yeah, exactly, bro. Exactly. So I've always kind of been like, get up and go. And Dino, my missus, that is the nickname. Like last summer when we were in LA, they stayed with me nearly the whole time. When we were in Prague, they were out for about 6 weeks.
Oh, wow.
I try and build it in wherever I go, bro, for a bigger project that they come along with me.
Do they enjoy it? Like, that must be amazing as a kid to suddenly be in Prague or LA. That's, like, I've found that experience incredible when I was a kid.
I mean, yeah. You know what it is? There's a bit of a discrepancy between the kids. The first two, obviously, they're born on the same street that I grew up in. They're very used to like being a bit rowdy, Sophia and Yay. Then the other guy came and he's a bit of a Pokemon. He's an anomaly, yeah? I love him for what he is, but he's like, we take him kickboxing. Sophia and Yay are like swinging lefts and rights and that. And he's in the corner twirling, doing like Pokemon powers and stuff. So I'm like, yo, this kid, he's a separate guy. He's got his own thing going on. I love him for it. So like between them, like the first two, they quite like a bit of the rough stuff. So you know when things are like, oh, history, shall we go to this nice restaurant or whatever? Them two are like, yeah, he's a bit lispy. Like, he's like, oh, Dad, this is shit, man. So we just go Dixie or whatever. Shall we go Dixie? So he's still on that. And I look at him and I'm in love with him, innit? Because I'm like, yes, bro, this is where we came from. And then the other one's like, oh, Dad, do you think we could try Wagyu? I'm like, how the fuck do you even know what Wagyu is? How do you even know what that is? He's been on YouTube watching Google Food. So, like, when we go away, we have to try and fit in like quite normal rowdy stuff. versus let's try this experience. But genuinely, when we go away, as long as we're together and we're in a nice gaff, like we can, it's so much fun being with each other that we kind of just get on with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. And your life's changed quite a lot. You know, you still, you know, in Cove with all your friends and family and stuff, and you try and keep as normal as possible, even though you are like in LA filming all this stuff. But do you find that it's going to be harder and harder as your kids get older and they're just experiencing different things to, you know, their peers?
You know, it's mad, yeah. Like, and I genuinely check in with them a lot, because to me, it's like, sometimes I get a bit weird with it. You know, it's like, they're just kids, bro, chill out. But it does mean a lot to me that they remember where we're from, and that's partly in like where we spend time. So like this place in Hillfields where all my cousins and us used to get in mad trouble, but was conversely still part of the most fun part of my life growing up. We go back there regularly, like once or twice a week, and you know, Hillies is a rough place, but I tend to do that in. And you know, as they get older, I never want to take them somewhere or show them something that they're like, "Oh, Dad, I'm not really into that." But they really enjoy it. They enjoy me talking to aunties and uncles that I grew up with. Do you know what I mean? They always put a hand on their shoulder and my shoulder and just give us a reminder, like good advice or have a little laugh and a joke. So for me, bro, kind of being on this journey, it's like all this new stuff is cool. But then also, I'm open with them and everybody. It's like, oh, this might go away tomorrow. That's like the mentality I still have. It's like, it's all good now. We're in LA doing this and HBO Studios and got my own show on TV. I goes, in 2 years' time, if I'm doing night shift at ASDA, it is what it is. Like, I genuinely try and put that into them. And they're not weirded out by it. They're like, yeah, man, we'll roll our sleeves up and do whatever we got to do as well. So, yeah, that's important to me.
Am I right in saying that there was a point when also you were living next door to your either your parents or your in-laws at one point? Is that right?
It's my mum. So technically that still happens. Right. So there'll be a few nights a week when the kids, we've got like this new gaff, and like they'll be scratching their head. I'll be like, "You good?" And they'll be like, "Yeah, shall we just go back to the old place for a bit?" And I'm like, "If you want." So like they'll grab their school stuff, they'll grab like switches or whatever, a few fundamentals, Pokemon cards, that guy. Yeah. And then we'll jump in the car and we'll go back to the house that's next door to my old dear, just because they enjoy that as well. And my mum's it sounds weird, but like obviously genuinely, like it's a South Asian thing, isn't it? It's like a Caribbean thing. And like in the area we grew up in, like white working class Irish families, their mum and dads were always floating about.
Yeah.
It's just something that we're so used to that if they're not there, like even my missus, you know, you get this old school like archetypal, or like, you know, wives and mother-in-laws and what's the relationship like. Of course, it can get a bit intense sometimes. But even she's like, "Shit, man, where is she, the funny lad?" Because my mum is a funny like mad geezer. So we always kind of like float between the two places. And that's genuinely huge for the kids as well.
Yeah. Also, it's great for childcare, isn't it?
No, bro. Of course, they'll be coming back saying some weird things in Punjabi and that. That's gonna get me cancelled, but it's worth it.
Do you offload all four at any point? Like, would your mum look after all four, and then you go, "This is a date night just for us"?
Generally, with my mum, because like she's in her mid-70s now, and she's slowing down. If I leave her with more than one, a phone call will come quite quickly saying, "Come and get the like that is that."
So one at a time, they're all.
One at a time is just about magical. My sisters are wicked. So like both my sisters are in the city as well. So the kids go there and they have sleepovers. And like I said, my nieces and nephews are now at an age where, you know, they're always like kids, isn't it, in your head.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're 17, 18, a couple of them are 20 now. So they're also really good with the kids. But I, like I said at the beginning, like I genuinely can't remember when me and Dino have been able to say, "Shall we go out and explore what this relationship's all about? Come on."
Let's talk,
buddy. Come on. What's really going on here? I think if we did, I'd be fucked. We'd probably be divorced next week. So I'm quite happy to have one to four kids still floating about. Yeah. You know what I mean? So
I think papering over the cracks is underrated.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yo, why do people try and investigate the mold? Just keep breathing it in.
Just repaint it. It'll be fine.
You know.
And are you done at four though? You're going any? Are you having more, or is four enough?
Yeah, I don't want her to die. So I think four is definitely a lot. And she, after the last one, she's like, "I've nearly died there." And like, she,
oh, was it bad?
Like, it's. I think every time it's a wondrous / horrifying thing, isn't it? Like, when you really think about it,
yeah.
It's fucking mad, bro. It's another person coming out of a person, bro. This is mad shit. this is fucking mad. Even the first time I was like, it's a bit much, that. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, if you saw it on Game of Thrones and you didn't know about childbirth, you go, oh, I think it's gone too far, this show. That's mental.
Bro, 100%, bro. Just like, you know what? The main thing that stressed me out when the nurse said it, it was just a little thing, and she's gone to me, oh, it's going to be a lot of mucus. I was going, well gone, bruv, mucus like that. If that's coming out your lungs, you're getting antibiotics, you're going on a ventilator. You man are talking about bare mucus just flooding the floor out. It's very stressful for me. So I bless her, she needs to hold off.
How are you in the labour then? Because, you know, you're full of beans, very laughy and jokey, but it is serious, isn't it? Like, did you struggle with that?
It was when we was in LA, it was like a semi-lockdown still, isn't it? So yeah. So everyone, I think, as a parent, and whether you're a carer, whatever it is, I've been quite used to people are under your feet all the time, innit? Like,
yeah.
You know, that's just something. Even people who were like, yeah, parent, I've got mates who were like, yeah, parenting's okay, but I like my alone time. Even they were like, look, we've got to get on with it. Kids are here. We're to kill a pandemic, fucking hell. But I better be nice to them. So when we were in LA, for a little bit, we kind of felt isolated because for the first time, we were away from like this big my mates, her mates, sisters, social circle. But we stayed in this quite like, oh, it's archetypal thing they do. They put you in like, oh, this is like Hollywood and this is where this guy lives and that guy lives. And we were like, I don't give a fuck about him. I don't even know who he is. Sounds like so when we got there, we stayed in that area. Didn't like it. It was... You felt kind of isolated. And when you start getting to know the city a bit, you realize that the areas that are like affluent, where they want you to stay, that they think are cool, you're physically looking down on all of the poverty in LA.
Oh, it's mad. Like the homelessness is crazy, isn't it?
God.
Bro, and Rob, it's horrible, isn't it? Because when you're standing on the top of one of these like swanky places where people live and you are physically looking down on some of the poorest people on planet Earth, it was horrible. And like the kids were like, we don't really like this. So we moved to another part of LA where there was a big Latino community. And yo, we felt fully at home. Grandmas, granddads packing out the yard, 8 people in the house. Like, and when we moved in there and got a little house in between this community, that's when like our LA thing really took off. My kids would run next door, play with their kids. It was, that just felt so much more comfortable for us.
Do you find that, with four, I can't imagine you as a kind of as a disciplinarian. That you don't strike me as someone. I mean, are you measured? Have you got rules, or are you just, how does it work?
Joshy, this is something I thought as well prior to parenting. Sometimes you got to come in hot. It's needed.
I suppose you're a teacher as well, so you're used to it, right?
If it's always like more positive vibes and everyone's laughing and joking and stuff.
Yeah.
Like when that tone shift comes, there's a real feeling of like,
oh fuck yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. And if the undercurrent is, oh, look at your dad, this fat little like geezer that's always laughing all the time. And now fucking look, he's fucking there in the kitchen depressed and that. It's like, oh shit, I better change my ways. Look, I really fucked up the whole context with my daddy. Or, and you know, for their mum as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How, even including you guys, how do the rest of the family, obviously you're super proud of it, but are you like, when your kid can do something much better than you, it's a bit stressful, isn't it?
I've got that with drawing and my daughter. She'll ask me to draw stuff because she's really into drawing.
Oh.
And she draws with her, Rose can draw and Rose's mum's an artist. So they can like draw stuff with her and show her how to draw stuff. I'm so shit at drawing. To the point where we'll draw on the same piece of paper. And then normally when she's drawing with like Rose or whatever, you can tell which is which. But we're literally, and this is as much a reflection on me, it's of a level. And so Rose will come in and she can't tell the difference between what my daughter, who's four, has drawn and I've drawn. It's fucking pathetic.
But I think it's a good thing when you're young to work out what you're not naturally really good at and just bin it off. And something you've got an inclination to, and just hammer that. Because you only need one or two things you can do. No one wants, you know, no one wants a jack of all trades.
But she's not gone to school yet, and she's already worked out that her dad isn't, you know, isn't infinitely perfect and good at stuff. Which it should take kids longer than that, than four.
I think mine knew early doors, to be honest. Do your kids watch the stuff you do, guys?
Like a little bit. Like I think the one who enjoyed most is like quite Man Like Moby and stuff. But apart from that, whether it be my missus, like they're obviously, and they say it like, look, mate, we're proud of what you're doing, where we've all come thus far. But it's really like quite normal at home, and there's always like a million other things to chat about. You know what I mean? Like there's always something going off at school or with their cousins or with their mates. Like recently, I'm late to the party, but like I got involved in Fortnite with them towards the end of summer holiday. And they're all too young to be playing it technically. But yeah. I quite like Wiggy, the one doing all like the Kamehameha moves in the corner. Yeah. It's the first time I've ever really seen him aggressive. So I quite like it. I quite like the fact that he's on the computer too young and like blood pressure going up, couple of swears slip out. I don't even mind because you know what I mean?
It's good to see someone. Yeah. I do love seeing them like competitive or passionate about something. You know, when they're really into something.
Yeah.
It's quite nice to see they've got a bit of fire in their belly.
100%, bro. And so like I kind of got into that with them. But when it comes to like stuff that I do as a career, I actually find it really comforting that everyone's like, all good? I'm like, yeah, all good. Sound, let's get on with life. Yeah. Like, that's really what it's like at home.
Would you let them watch your stand-up? You're going to the Harold Pinter Theatre in September 21st to the 23rd. You can get your tickets now. Doing your, well, it's a brand new live stand-up show. It's your first one in 3 years.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm doing that. I'll be honest.
It's soon. It's a couple of weeks.
Oh, fucking no, mate. I know. And like,
have you done warm-up gigs?
I haven't done nothing, mate. I haven't done nothing. Listen, I just told the truth. I've been playing Fortnite last 5 weeks with the kids till like 2 a.m. That's what I've been doing. So if the material is around like aimbots and people who cheat for V-Bucks, it'll be a banger of a show, mate. If it ain't about that, then good luck.
Oh, guys, I've just Google imaged it, mate. It's absolutely beautiful.
It's an hour and 20 minutes long. Do you know that?
Fucking hell.
20 quid a ticket though, pretty good value. I think that'd be a great show.
That in the West End, that is absolutely excellent.
That's 21st, 22nd, 23rd of September.
Thank you. This is the angle we're going with. You see, this is the reason why I chose to do these shows, because we're doing tickets at the most competitive rate, the most affordable rate with what's coming in at the moment. And the people that I represent, lads, okay, I'm giving them an opportunity to feel a little slice of the West End, a little slice of it. But at a incredibly competitive rate, despite the fact that I'm going to be talking shit about Fortnite and that for an hour and 20.
Yeah.
Yeah. It don't matter. We're there.
Exactly.
We're
repping. And if you're not, like, you know, from Cov or repping where you're from and you're sort of a bit of a posho in central London, you can come and support, you know, a new up and coming act from Coventry taking over the West End.
Wow.
Yes.
God. Where are you
there
guys?
We go.
You on a PR. My God.
Exactly.
My God.
Well, what's your homecoming gig? Because whenever I do Coventry, it's always at the universities, the main gig.
Oh, yeah, the Warwick.
The Warwick, Archie, that's the main one Warwick they send it to. What's your big theatre there in Coventry?
The Rico Arena.
They're nice people at the Warwick Arts and that, but it ain't Warwick. That's a different place.
So exactly. It's in the middle, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit weird. Like, you've got, like, Belgrade, you've got this place called it really pops. It ain't a massive room, it's like 600 or whatever, but it's called a Rialto, and that's like proper in the ends. So you get all of the mad lads, you get all of the crazy biscuits, and everyone comes together, and that's a brilliant room to do. If you can, next time you're in Cov, do the Rialto.
Amazing as well. I've just looked at that. What a venue.
Yeah, it's like, you know, some legends have gone through there.
But you should film me a special in there.
Yeah, I'd love that. You know, it's got like a creaky vibe. Like, they've put like the posh stuff all over the place, but
that looks nicer than Harold Pinter's theatre.
Does it really?
Not from the outside, though. It looks rough as shit, but inside looks nice. Sorry, I'm looking at the one in California. I'm sorry.
Oh, God.
It's not that nice. Yeah, I've just looked it up. It ain't as nice.
I like it. Look at the California one, though.
The California one's unbelievable. The Coventry one's all right. It's decent. But, yeah, did you think I was going a bit over the top?
Yeah, it's your podcast. I wasn't going to start cussing you out, but I was like, fucking hell, he lost Rialto, didn't he?
The California one's unbelievable, though, Gus. It's unbelievable.
I can't even find a picture of it. Where's the picture of it?
What, the Rialto Coventry?
No, I've seen the Coventry one. That came up when I Googled Rialto Coventry.
Rialto, I'm not... South Pasadena.
How the hell did you think that was in Coventry, Rob? Look, I'm looking at pictures of this. It's in America.
It's in America, yeah.
Yeah, I mean that's as simple as I can say. That is a theatre that is in America.
Sorry, I got it wrong. Oh, dear.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son?
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT!
The GOAT!
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams, so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. That's Atlassian.com. Atlassian.
And do your kids have any sort of aspirations to theatre or performing? Or is it all fighting?
Not that they've really. I tell you what, they've all told me, which is weird, isn't it? Because the more visual stuff is like the acting and stuff. But they've all told me that the older three that stays, they want to try stand up, and that makes you a little bit proud, doesn't it? It's like, they want to try it. So maybe they are watching it on YouTube when I do it or whatever. Or maybe, to be honest with you, because it's the one that is still like quite pure, when I come home and I'm like, oh, that was sick, like that gig in this place. Maybe they see, oh, shit, that's the one he's really into. And so they're kind of like, yeah, we want to catch those vibes. So, yeah, they've all said they want to try stand-up.
Oh, and would you go and watch? Would you find that stressful?
I'd be heckling the shit out of them, bro.
Are you vocal when you watch them do sport and stuff? Do you get involved?
A little bit. Their mum is probably way more than me. Sports day and stuff, like, she'll always be the one, like, well, you know, they still do like dad's race, and she'll jump into like mum's doing it and dad's. She's like a bit of a, I don't know, mate. She's releasing some kind of endorphins that. We don't even know there after time. So she takes all that stuff kind of seriously. I'm just happy to see them do them. Do you know what I mean? So it's good.
Did you do the dad's race?
No. Dino does that. My missus does that.
Oh, fair enough.
No, because you know it is, bro. Look, I tell you the truth. It's the same for all three of us, yeah? Because if you do get caned in it and you get beat, then yeah. Like, on the WhatsApp group, the family WhatsApp group, they'll be like, oh, funny. But you fucking can't run, can you? And I'm not into
that. How involved are you with the school dads? Do you go for drinks and stuff, or you swerve it?
No, a little bit, but like, yeah, not too much. I'll say sound to everybody. You know what it is? I'm a bit of an old soul, so whenever someone's granddad comes and picks them up, I'll spend loads of time chatting to the granddad.
I chat to the granddad. There's a granddad who drops off his kid at the same school. I'm always chatting to him. I think, do you know what it is? I think when you're a comedian and you're self-employed, your day's a bit floatier because you sort of choose what you do, and sometimes you're really busy, sometimes you're not. And I feel like I've got more in common with retired people than people that are working a 9-to-5.
It's one of the saddest things I've ever heard, Rob. The 35-year-old man or whatever you are. hanging out on park benches, sharing a packet of Fox's Glacier Mints with an 80-year-old, talking about when the world was a better place.
Retired people have got less to prove, haven't they? They're just sort of chilled.
I've genuinely found it. And like, you know, like people who are your age, was like, what's going on with work? But the granddad, the few that I talk to, it's always about like, oh, fucking, what PSI shall I put in my tyre? And it's like, oh, I know that.
Or they're quite happy to slag people off because they don't care. They haven't got full skin in the game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you're the grandparent dropping off at school, you're not fully involved, so you can slag everyone off.
Yes, yes. Listen, we've unlocked a magical part of the schoolroom, mate. Neglected. Yeah.
Which is, I think as well, they're just so happy to have woken up that day. Full of beans. And the last question, what's the one thing that annoys you about the way your partner parents, and what's the best thing about the way they parent? Is there one thing that just gets on your nerves that you don't really bring up anymore to stop arguments?
Now, Dino is just a good lad, you know. Like, there's nothing.
Good lad.
She's a really good lad. There's nothing I can really say. Like, she's just, all I say is this, in this combination of two fairly young people having four kids, my days, if she weren't about, we'd be in trouble. That's what I'll say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's the best thing?
What about her?
The way she parents, yeah. What's the best thing about her as a mum?
I tell you what is funny. I do like, if one of the kids pisses her off, their lunchbox will be shit. She'll send them through with a shit lunchbox. That's funny. And she'll, like, oi, she'll take all of the mini rolls out. So they're like, yes, mini rolls. And when they get to school, they'll be like, Dad, there was a piece of bread and lettuce. I'll be like, yes, you're a bad man, Dino. You're a bad man.
Great one to keep them on their toes.
Absolutely perfect.
That was brilliant. Thanks so much.
Yo, lads, absolutely. It's been long overdue. So sorry that we didn't do it earlier, but thank you.
No,
so much.
No worries. We wanted you from the start, and we finally snared you.
We finally got you. And go and see Gaz at the Harold Pinter Theatre, 21st to 23rd of September. Tickets on sale now, www.atgtickets.com.
Cheers, mate. That was great.
Okay, lads. See you soon, man.
That was Guz Khan, one of the most naturally funny people you will ever meet.
He properly, he's just funny, and he's just a funny bloke. Have you ever done a West End run like that?
I did the Palladium, but that doesn't count, does it? And that's not a run.
No, so I was filming your special, so that was a bit different, but...
Yeah. It appeals to me in that sense of it'd be nice, wouldn't it, just to go to... It'd feel like you're going to work on, like, Shaftesbury Avenue
or whatever. But you could do that and just work in Subway. The thing with theatres, though, is, like, they're really pretty and beautiful, but I think sometimes comedy audiences, they feel a bit, like, scared to laugh because it's so fancy. But then what I hate is when you're in the same theatre and it's in a shit play and they do one little crap pun and everyone goes, because it's been so boring. I'm like, that is not worthy of that laugh. You're just bored.
People who laugh at plays, they're not funny.
Well,
people who describe books as hilarious. I've never read a hilarious book. I've read books where I've laughed. I've never cried with laughter at a book.
Don't forget to buy Parenting Hell the book.
Don't forget to buy that is a funny book. No, that is.
That's, and that's why we've written.
Yeah, the first ever funny book.
Yeah, so.
The books can be funny, but when they're like tears rolling down my face, fuck off.
Yeah, I know. Some people do laugh easy.
Yeah,
have you ever met someone like at a wedding where you say anything and they're like, and like, but they mean it? You know, this guy's a fucking, I'm just going to put him on a chain and bring him with me everywhere I go. This guy's unbelievable.
I have met people like that. I've been that at a wedding when I'm struggling for conversation with someone.
I really do laugh off shit banter just to try and slap on the shoulder and walk away.
Oh my God.
Good one.
Is there a more stressful moment than approaching the seating plan at a wedding? Fuck it out.
Oh, you've got to go in there first and move it.
Anyway, go to the Harold Pinter Theatre on the 21st to the 23rd of September.
And we'll see you
Tuesday. For more top-level bands.
See you then.